Hey guys, welcome to the Charge Podcast. Thank you so much for being here. I am recording this intro in Chicago in my apartment. Probably like most of you guys, I have been here for the past few days. It is March 19th right now, and I'm not sure how long this will last, but just taking it day by day, my heart goes out to all of you guys who have been affected in any way, whether that's a small or a big way. One thing that I have noticed is the amount of support and resources that have been shown online, and that has been really, really inspiring to see. It's interesting because this podcast episode, which is the second half of the conversation that I had with Katie Ann in Columbus, is all about how faith and social media have impacted her life. And so it feels really, really timely right now. So if you haven't listened to last week's episode with Katie Ann, pause this episode right now and make sure that you do that. Katie Ann is a strength and physique coach. She is an athlete. She is an incredible person. And I loved this conversation. It was really one of my favorites. So let's dive into the second half. I'm curious, how do you quote unquote biohack your life? Since you don't use any of those drugs, obviously, whether that's supplements or anything that you want to talk about.
I am extremely consistent. So what it comes down to when individuals are kind of like, what's like the secret, you know, to building muscle or to, you know, just having a physique that, you know, building up your legs or whatever it may be. And it's like, it really comes down to consistency and hard work. And really there are no shortcuts when it comes to that. Just like, you know, building a business, it's like one day at a time. And same thing with training and nutrition. I'm like, you need to be consistent. And a lot of times people don't like to hear that because I have people come to me for clients who come to me and say like, I just need someone to like fix me. And I'm like, I'm not going to fix you because you have to put in the hard work and you have to put in that dedication to the process and be consistent. And people don't realize how much consistency and persistency really that is the quote secret to pretty much everything in life. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, I genetically put on muscle easier than a lot of other people. So for me, my body responds really well to weight training. So I've been blessed in that regard. So for some of my clients who don't, we need to like strategize a little bit differently. But when it comes to really when it comes to like dieting and it comes to getting lean, I mean, I just, if you looked at my life, it was, I did the same thing day after day. And as a bodybuilder or physique athlete or powerlifter or whatever it may be, something where you're competitive, you know, you do something competitively, it's like, you just have to be okay with kind of being bored day after day. Like you have to be okay with having that be your lifestyle of like going in the gym and doing the same thing. And some days I don't want to be in the gym. Like some days I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't want to be here. But I would say the majority of the days I love training and it's not that exciting. Like I don't hit PRs every day. I don't, you know, PR for people who don't know, personal records. Like I don't hit, you know, some crazy number every single day. And you can't look for those highs to keep you going. It has to be just being okay with having that, you know, not living by the highs. It's like just kind of somewhere in the middle and you have to be okay with that and not just be looking to these big moments to make your life. Because really what it comes down to are the small things in life that really make life. And it's not these big monumental moments. It's the small things that led up to those moments. So for me, like you have to structure your life to something that you love. And now, of course, I have my bad days. Everyone does. But in general, I love running a business. I love being able to have the flexibility to, you know, pursue my passions and my purpose and being able to train. I love it. So it's really about that kind of day in, day out. And are you being grateful too for what you have?
Mm-hmm. When you're working with your clients and you tell them, okay, we got to be consistent, how many weeks do you give them to kind of check in and see, okay, your body is responding or your yes. body is not responding, and then yes. what it looks like to make tweaks.
Yeah. So I have my clients, majority of my clients, if they're just coming to me for like a one-time plan, it's different. But majority of my clients check in weekly. So that's the process that I go through. I'm like, okay, this is what we're looking for. If they're a weight loss client, usually it's 0.5% to 1% of their body weight per week. So it doesn't sound like very much, right? Because it's not. We want to be consistent. And so as a coach, I can see, okay, I see trends. I see your measurements changing. First week, we don't expect changes. We might see a little drop on the scale, but we don't expect changes. And that really can be such a benefit of having a coach, is having someone there to tell you, look, like, you're on plan. And that helps you be consistent. Like for myself, I work with a coach. And so coaches need coaches 100%. Just like, you know, I think about it, like counselors, mental health counselor, can they do therapy on themselves? No, they need someone else to go to. Same thing with coaching. It's like coaches a lot of times need someone to check in with, to be because that's how I stayed on plan too. I have a coach that I've been working with for, it's been over a year now. His name's Alberto. He's awesome. And just checking in with him kept me consistent in even the off season. Cause sometimes I was like, man, I kind of want to go on a mini cut and like lose some weight. And he's like, no, just that positive reinforcement yes. too. And that is, humans, we need that. We need those people who are going to be objective with us. And sometimes my clients, they check in, they say, well, I went off plan this week for 3 days. And I'm frustrated because I didn't lose any weight. And I'm like, well, you went off plan for 3 days. So we're not making any changes. You need to be on plan 7 days this week. Or if you can't get 7 days, let's strive for 6. Like, let's try to improve it and be more consistent. And why are you falling short? So like, for example, I had this client, just thinking about it. She checked in yesterday and just having some trouble with consistency. And so I ask her the question. I say, what is it that, when do you have the most trouble with consistency? How can we change that so you can be more consistent? Then let's establish consistency. Hit that for 2 to 4 weeks. If we still don't see any change, then we can make some more tweaks. If that makes sense. So it's different with every single person because we all struggle in different ways. Some clients, they don't eat their food. You know, I'm like, you need to eat more. Like, okay, how are we going to set up your diet so you actually eat more? Maybe that means making sure you get in breakfast. Some people just start their day and they forget to eat until 3 p.m. I mean, I'm not one of those people because I would be super hungry, but I'd be like, by noon, I'd be like, oh my gosh, give me some food. But some people are like that because they're so busy. So it's like, how can we prepare? You know, are you going to meal prep on the weekends to make sure you have healthy meals ready to go? Are you going to, you know, maybe have something at work that you can eat, a snack, whatever it may be? So it's about setting up a plan for each individual differently. And that's why it's so individual. Every single person is going to be a little bit different because we all have different lives. We mm-hmm. all have different jobs. We all have different, you know, likes, dislikes. Personally, I like to eat a snack right before bed. So in the morning I wake up, I'm not super hungry. So that kind of dictates like my nutrition flows are a little bit different than maybe someone who doesn't like eating after dinner. I do. I like having dinner and then I like having something at night. So, you know, that's going to structure our days a little bit different. Mm-hmm. So that's really how you establish consistency, is like, where are you struggling to be consistent and how can we change things to make you more consistent, and how are we going to set you up for success?
Mm-hmm. And once they are consistent mm-hmm. for 2 to 4 weeks and you yes. say, okay, we do need to make a tweak, do you typically look at the nutrition component or the workout component? Like, which both. One would you do first, or would you keep both of them?
Well, I would. So my check-in system for my clients is twofold. So if they're doing training and nutrition with me, so I can't make specific recommendations in terms of what foods they can eat because I'm not a registered dietitian. So I can just make general nutrition recommendations as far as like calories and that sort of thing. And it's like a recommendation since I'm not a registered dietitian. And if they need like a meal plan, I reference them to my friends who are registered dietitians. And so for me, it's more guidance in terms of their nutrition. I'm like, okay, we need to tweak a few things. So with my clients, when they report into me, sometimes I say, okay, send me an example food log. Like, what are you eating? And then I can make recommendations. I'm like, well, maybe you shouldn't eat 1,000 calories for breakfast, and then, you know, the rest of the day, let's say they want to hit 2,500 calories, and then they're eating 1,000 for breakfast, and then, like, let's say their lunch was like 1,500, and they're already at 2,500, and then the rest of the day they're like, well, I was out of food. And it's like, okay, well, maybe you should make some tweaks to your, you know, your breakfast, your lunch, and set up something that you can be more consistent with, so you're not like, you have a daily caloric budget and you're blowing your budget by 1 p.m. You know, let's figure out some ways in order to structure your nutrition better. So I look at both, because I'm like, if you are inconsistent with your training and you're inconsistent and you're consistent with your nutrition, okay, that's great. But like, what's that missing piece? And so it could be different for each individual, but I look for sure at both. Now, if I have a client who's working with me who's just doing training, who's just wanting training guidance, I still ask them about their nutrition. I'm like, what are you eating? Like, how are things going? Because there's kind of this notion out there in the fitness industry. You've seen these, like, maybe these images that say, like, it's 90% diet, 10% training, or something like that.
Yes.
Like, it's actually 100% both, because both play a role in your physique and your goals, and it's not like
I love that.
Yeah.
Oh my God. What?
Because it's not that you can't just delegate a percentage to each thing. It's like, no, it's everything.
Yes.
Also, it's 100% sleep. It's 100%, you know, your stress level. I mean, everything plays a role. Your mental health. Like, do you need to seek a counselor? Like, all these things play a role. And so it's not this black and white, here's your training, here's your nutrition. If you're not 100% compliant, then I don't want to have anything to do with you, you know, type of thing, which that's kind of what I experienced in some of my initial coaching, just experiences with some different coaches. It was like, they never asked me about like what I was struggling with, or, you know, if I liked it, or if I had trouble doing the exercises, or if an exercise hurt my shoulder or whatever it may be. It would just be like, do this, don't ask questions. And that is that just like breaks my heart, because if you're paying a coach, they need to be helping you reach your goals, and that's for sure my opinion. And so that's how I've tried to structure my coaching around, is just, what did I dislike about my coaching experiences in the past, what did I like? And my first coaching experience, it was like, I remember Lane, the first like science-based coach that I had, he would ask me, okay, so where are you in your cycle? You know, and I was like, oh, that plays a role. Like in weight fluctuations and that sort of thing, he's like, we're not making any changes to your nutrition because, you know, you're just beginning your cycle or whatever it may be, in your water retention and weight fluctuation. And, you know, how was stress this week? And I was like, well, I was really stressed at work, and my sleep, I didn't sleep very much. He's like, okay, well, then you're probably retaining some water, because stress increases cortisol, which then can increase the amount of water you're retaining, and blah, blah, blah. And so it's like all these things that play a role into your day-to-day life. It's not just like these compartmentalized aspects of your life. And I think that's too maybe another area that is... it's improving, because I've definitely seen more of an awareness of like mental health and that sort of thing. And like, go see a counselor if you're having these things. Like, a coach can't fix you, your eating disorder. Like, you need to see a professional who can help you address that specific issue. It's more of a holistic view, not just here's a diet and it's going to solve all your problems. It's not. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's not true. It's multifaceted.
Love that so much.
Yeah.
What are you working on right now?
Personally, with my coaching business, that's my full-time job. So I coach individuals, and then personally, I still train. I still lift weights 5 days a week, and just am really working to be my focus now is not competing. I don't know if I'll compete. I don't know
ever again.
I might. I mean, I think maybe in a few years. Which is kind of different in the fitness industry. Most competitors very often, and I haven't competed since 2017, actually, so it's been a while. But I've really enjoyed finding that balance. And then also my spiritual journey has become a huge part of my life and has really enhanced, I'd say, all parts of my life, because it's changed my perspective on what's important. And I see, like, just getting more, so I'm Christian, and so getting more into the Bible and studying the word, I'm like, okay, tells us not to worry about what we eat and what we drink and what we wear. I'm like, all right, this is humbling me. I need to like change my perspective a little bit. And so focusing on like souls and eternity, and that has been a huge, definitely a huge growth in my life in the past, I'd say 5 years or so. And just because when I was in the fitness industry and I really was making fitness my idol and my God. And then when I started to really see that that was never going to be something that was going to satisfy me in the big picture, fitness, it's great, but it's never going to bring that happiness that we desire. So what brings true joy? And throughout my journey, I really found that my faith in God and being able to actually see, okay, that is what brings me joy and that is what my mission is in life. And then these other things, it's like God first and then everything else behind it, and ordering my life in that way then brought me that true fulfillment instead of ordering it opposite, where it was like fitness first, then God, then these other things. That just led to dysfunction. That led to my priorities being out of whack for sure. And so when I really started to put the things not of this world first, it put everything, obviously there's still struggles, but things started, like there was an order to my life. And I definitely feel like I have a purpose, which all of us struggle at some point or another in our life. And I think the number one thing that a lot of times, it's not talked about a ton, but a lot of times a thing that we struggle with is like, what is our purpose? And in finding, you know, studying the word of God more and really diving into my faith, it's like God tells us we have a purpose and we're all uniquely created. And that gives you such freedom to be able to then pursue what is like your path for your life, as opposed to trying to fit this mold in this box that society tries to put on us, seeking fame, seeking money, seeking, you know, all these things that are going to disappear one day. Okay.
When did faith become such a huge part of your life?
It was 2000 and it's interesting because I specifically remember end of 2016, in 2015, 2016, I was searching. I was like, I've always gone to church, like growing up. Mm-hmm. My parents have been awesome and really growing up in the faith and in church and that sort of thing. But it never was my own. I was always sort of just like, oh, that's, yeah, okay, I believe in God. Okay. Like, bless what I do. You know? It was like, I'm going to do what I want and then ask God to bless it. And I was like, maybe not. So I just remember in 2015, 2016, I was like, there's something missing from my life. And that's when I was in the fitness industry and really getting involved more and more and starting to coach. And it was the end of 2016. I remember, so my brother, short story, he's married to an Australian girl. And so we went to Australia for his wedding. And I remember on the plane ride back, it's like, have you ever been to Australia?
I was born there. I know. I'm dual citizen. I only lived there for 1 year, but
are
I'm like,
are you serious? Yes,
I know. It's my claim to fame.
Where were you born?
Sydney.
Okay, so she's from Perth.
I haven't been there. Oh.
Okay, if you want, like,
let's go to Australia.
Can we go together?
Yeah, I literally, my goal is I just want to explore all of Australia. They have so many parks and just wildlife, beaches.
It's so beautiful. Anyways. Oh my gosh, that is so cool. Okay, so I was in Sydney for a week. Love it. And then I was in Perth. But anyways, the flight home is so long. I mean, it's like 15 hours or something. I don't know, something crazy. The one from Sydney to LA, I think it was like 13 or 15, I don't know, something. And I remember thinking, I was like, I wrote this note. I still have it. This note in my phone, like on the notes app. And it was like, here is to letting go of my, like, trying to control my life and like letting God lead me. And Chance. Yeah, I know.
Love it, that.
And it just came from this dissatisfaction in what the fitness industry was giving me. I had achieved things and I had, you know, this like new following and blah, blah, blah. But like it never felt satisfying. I was like, there has to be something missing. And that's what started it. Now it's been, you know, a growth and a process and whole spiritual journey. But it really came from also to like some relationships just not working out. And I was putting like my faith in other people, my faith in the fitness industry, and like I ended up having my heart broken. I mean, I was like, I was devastated. And I realized I was putting my, like, everything into other people's approval of me and the fitness industry and some of these relationships I had. And when those didn't work out and things just were terrible and I was let down, I was betrayed, you know, those types of things, like, it reminds you, okay, people are imperfect. Like, no one's ever going to be perfect for you. Like, no one's ever gonna make you complete, and no one's ever going to, yes, people can be a huge blessing in your life, but we all fall short. And so it's like, if you are making someone else or some industry or something trying to complete you, it's never gonna work, because we all fall short. And so that's what really started the whole journey of my faith and pursuing just that path for my life. Yeah.
How did you start? Did you just open the Bible? Did you find a church?
Yeah, good question. I found a church. Like? Yeah. So one church in Gahanna, Ohio. I started going with a friend actually from the fitness industry, and I knew her through bodybuilding, and she, because I told her, I was like, I'm looking for a church. And so she invited me. I started going every week, and I was like, this is amazing. And his name's Greg Ford. He's like, he was so relatable. And it was like the first time I'd been in a church where I felt like, oh my gosh, this is like so relatable. Because I grew up Lutheran, and it was great, you know, wonderful things about the church that I went to. And I still occasionally go back with my parents to their church, and they still go to the Lutheran church. But I never felt this like, oh my gosh, he's talking to me, you know, type of thing, like during the sermons. And so then I started just like kind of with the fitness, going online, finding resources. And I found one of my favorites is his name is Ravi Zacharias. He's a preacher. Yeah. He's so incredible. Like, if I have a question about my faith, he breaks it down. He's super like intellectual, where he can like break it down to why, okay, you have doubts or you have whatever, you know, everyone doubts and everyone struggles with their faith, but it's like, he has some amazing resources, just Q&As. I mean, he does Q&As all over the world where individuals who could be atheists, agnostic, ask questions like, why are you a Christian? And he was actually born in India. So he was Hindu. And then he had this amazing transformation where I think he attempted suicide and he was in the hospital. Yeah, crazy. And so he then became a Christian. And so I love him. So Ravi Zacharias is an amazing resource. But I started looking up different resources. And another one that I've been listening to recently, his name is Marcus Rogers. And he makes it so relatable, like the things that are going on in the world and just a Christian perspective on things. And so I started to like dive into resources and like really trying to gain knowledge and being in the Word and reading the Bible. And so no, I didn't just like start by myself. You need community. You know, if you're trying to start a spiritual journey, you need other individuals who are going to help lead you along, just like in parallels to training and nutrition. You can't just like jump into training and nutrition by yourself and expect to soar. Mm-hmm. You need people to help you along in that journey for sure. And it parallels to your faith journey so much. That's why when individuals are like, I want to start, but I don't know where to start, I'm like, just like try out some different churches, listen to some sermons, start. Even just read like 5 verses in the Bible and like, what is it saying? Or read a devotional, or read a 5-minute devotional in the morning. Like, what, you know, and then seek out a mentor, maybe a Christian counselor. Personally, I see a Christian counselor every month or so now. That's been amazing. So he can like direct me and like where to go in my life. And we all need those individuals to help us for sure. So that's been, it's been a process, kind of like fitness, you know? Where you start out and you're like, I don't know what to do. Like, I had some bad experiences in the past because I went to like a religious school where I didn't have a great, like I had some negative experiences in that in high school. And so just having kind of that bad taste in my mouth, I was like, I don't like church. I don't like this. I don't like that. But now I'm like, I love church. So if you would have told me that like when I was 22 that I would be saying that now, I would have been like, no, like, I don't like church. I don't like going. My parents had to force me growing up, but it's kind of like training and nutrition. If you would have told me back then that I would have been, you know, doing what I am now, I would have said absolutely not. But it's just, it's interesting how step by step, that's really how it's built and how it grows.
Life is a journey.
Yeah.
It is a journey.
It is a journey. Wow. That's for sure. I know. Always. And it's never ending too, which is exciting. It's scary, but it's also exciting.
It's very exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you don't know where you're going to be led, I think is the most exciting part of it. I'm like, just be open to opportunities, you know?
Let go.
Seriously. Yes. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. A topic that I want to end with, which is funny because I'm like, how can it top faith? Faith is the best.
Yeah.
But I do want to talk about social media. So we're going to go on the opposite spectrum.
Oh, social media can be a tool for good. That's for sure.
Tell me about that. Talk to me about that.
So social media, crazy. It is my following on social media and kind of like gaining a following. Happened totally organically, just like random. And it has really been, I think a lot of times in our society, we kind of have this like, oh, social media is like a terrible thing, you know? And of course, anything in our life can be a negative influence in our life if we allow it to. But social media, just like any other platform, just like any source of media, can be used for good. And so I think that is where I've really, especially the past couple of years, I'm like, okay, there's so much misinformation on social media. There's so much pressure to conform, but there also can be so much good. There's so many resources on social media. I mean, I know so many individuals who are putting out great science-based nutrition, science-based fitness information. And it's really been, for me, social media is how I initially found the light in the dark. And so I know how the difference that made in my life and how YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, all these things led me to where I am today. I mean, if it wasn't for social media, I never would have found my first coach. I never would have found this whole new world of training and nutrition. And so for me, I try to keep that perspective. I'm like, okay, yes, there are a lot of struggles in you know, a lot of just negativity, and we can get bogged down by that, but also it can be a huge tool for powerful tool for good. And I think that's what we, especially if you have a following, have to focus on and not let ourselves be bogged down by, you know, just there's a lot of stuff that you can get bogged down by on social media. But trying to keep that positive perspective and be mindful of, okay, I have a voice and how am I going to use that for good?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would just love to hear your experience of having over 100K followers. Like, literally, that is both insane and also so cool. Like, I can't even imagine what that's like.
Yeah, it's been interesting. Because I think, as I just said, trying to use it for a tool for good, there also is a lot of crap along with social media. I mean, I could write a book probably of like the messages I've received that are just
I die when you share those. I'm like, oh my gosh. What?
It's so unbelievable. Cause someone has access to you. People who normally wouldn't come up to your face and say things to you just can send a message to you, you know? So I really have tried to take like the emotion out of it too, because as humans, we tend to focus on the negative so much more than the positive. And when I think about it, I'm like, okay, think about in totality, the comments, the messages, percentage positive, percentage negative. It's probably like 2% negative, like literally 2%, or 2% hate, or 2% whatever. I'll never forget, there's this one back in 2016. This was kind of like when I realized, I was like, people just want attention, whether it be negative or positive. This guy made this YouTube video about me saying that I was like on all these drugs and like lying to everyone and like saying I looked like a man and like all this stuff. And I was like, I remember watching it and I was like, this is literally an 18-year-old boy like in his basement making this about me. Like he was like 18 probably. And he was making this video, and he made some about my friends too, who are natural bodybuilders. And I remember I was just like, gosh, like, what? Like, it just blew my mind. But then I was like, man, this is an opportunity to like pray for those people too, because they are hurting and they just want attention, whether it be good, whether it be bad. And I think you have to keep that perspective of like, what percentage is positive and what percentage is negative, and what is your purpose with it? And for me, that's shifted a lot towards like spirituality and that sort of thing. And I can't tell, like, some of the messages, literally, I cry. Oh my gosh. Like, this one girl, this comes to my mind. She tagged me in a post and she said, she was baptized, and she was like, you have no idea what an impact like your faith posts have made. And she said, like, you're one of the main reasons. And I was like, don't cry. But things like that. And it's that, I don't, a few hate messages or in that, like, I can deal with a few hate messages. Like, I really don't care, you know. And those people who send hate messages, they're just looking for, they're unhappy in their lives. If you're confident in your life and you feel like you have a purpose and you feel like you are, you know, and you're trying to be a positive influence in other people's lives, are you going to send a hate message to someone? No. The people that are sending hate and criticism and that sort of thing are individuals who are really hurting. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, sad. So yes, I have dealt with quite a bit of criticism, especially when I became more bold in my faith, and became more kind of outspoken about just not, you know, I really stopped filtering what I wanted to say. And I was like, I mean, I'm not always right, but I'm going to speak. Like, if I feel like I'm called to talk about something, I'm going to talk about it, and I'm not going to be afraid, because for some reason God's putting that on my heart to talk about. And it might not be popular, might not be what people want to hear, but if I feel like I'm being led to talk about it, I'm going to talk about it. And, you know, and I think it all kind of stems back to my faith too. I mean, that's really the foundation for pretty much, well, not pretty much, everything. Oh, I try to make it the foundation for everything I do. Because I think about, you know, when I receive some like a nasty message or something, which is few and far between. I mean, it really is. But I think about just what the Bible says about like the world will hate you because of me. You know, Jesus talked about that, and I'm like, all right. And, you know, suffering and that sort of thing, like, it, the Bible tells us to rejoice in suffering. And I'm like, all right, like, I need to have a better perspective about this, because it really pales in comparison to the love that Jesus Christ, who is my Lord and Savior, you know, showed by dying on the cross. And I'm just like, I think about that. Like, the other day, there was this post talking about like actually what happened to Jesus on the cross in terms of like the nails going through his, you know, through his wrists, and like the pain and all this sort of thing. And I just like, I started crying, and I was like, how selfish of me to be like, wah, 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 someone's talking about me, you know, when that's, you know, Jesus was murdered on the cross. And even if you're not Christian, thinking about, okay, it's Jesus was, whether or not you believe he's God or whether you don't believe he's God, he still was a really amazing individual, whether or not you're religious or not, whether or not you believe in, you know, him. And the fact that like he was killed and he was still an amazing person, I'm like, man, okay. So like, we're going to be, you know, we're going to face criticism, we're going to face hardship. And that's kind of like the ultimate example. I mean, whether or not you're Christian or not, it's like, oh man, he was a really good person. I mean, he talked about treating people the way you want to be treated and that sort of thing. And really, you know, like the golden rule and that sort of, that all of us say, oh yeah, that's good. Like, we should try to be good humans. It's like, okay, so that's the ultimate example, but yet he was still, you know, persecuted and everything. So kind of putting that puts everything into perspective. And then also puts things into perspective, like, this is such a opportunity to be able to pursue these things in our lives, for sure.
Good and to always come back to that.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Last question before we get into some rapid fire questions.
Yeah. Okay.
What is one piece of advice that you wish you would have taken before starting your business, your health coaching business?
Oh gosh. Hire an accountant.
Yeah.
Seriously.
That's good. You know, you're finance.
Is there's so, even though I was a finance major, there's so many like tax laws and write-offs and this and that. And I, you know, my accountant changed from like a sole proprietorship to an S-corp. I don't know. I don't even know because he did that. But just having someone in your corner who can help you with the financials, because I think a lot of times, especially when we're passionate about something we're doing, we just start doing and doing and doing. And then the little details just totally fall behind. And it then starts to pile up. So it's like having a system in place where you have other professionals that you're outsourcing things to is so important. Mm-hmm. So important. So for myself, I mean, being a business owner, you wear a lot of hats. And one of those that I just could not do was my taxes. I was like, I cannot do this. And so I hired someone. So usually when my friends are like, I'm getting into health and fitness and coaching, I'm like, okay, make sure you have a good accountant that you can send everything to and they can handle the things with the IRS, because the last thing you want is to mess up and then have the IRS knocking at your doors. Mm-hmm. That's what I would say. That's one huge thing. And that can also apply to other areas of your business, delegating for sure if you're not good at something.
Yes. Yeah. Do you have other team members that you delegate things to?
So I do have an individual that I work with in terms of like budgeting and that sort of thing. So one of my friends, she's helped me. And then I have in the past, a lot of that is with my sponsor, Core Nutritionals too, which has been awesome. So when we get together, like filming different like lifts and that sort of thing. And then I also have a business partner in this app. It's called My Macros. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but it's a tracking app for nutrition. Mm-hmm. And so I have a partner in that. So he's actually a software engineer. So he built this app that I helped write some just logic behind it. So he's a business partner. So
cool.
So I have some different individuals in my life who, yeah, have helped me on some different things. And moving forward, it's definitely one of the areas that I'm working on. Actually, one of my friends who is like kind of a business coach, she's helping me restructure some things so I can then hopefully one day hire coaches underneath me and have a system where it's growing my business and expanding in that regard. So yeah.
So all about the systems.
Yeah. So still ever changing, ever evolving, and hopefully developing even more in the next like year or so. Yeah.
That's exciting. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Rapid fire questions. Woo! Okay.
Exciting.
One word to describe you.
Yeah. One word. I would say passionate. Whether it be with my faith or my fitness or my nutrition, I mean, whatever it may be, like, I just really am passionate about things. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Female you'd like to meet.
Female I'd like to meet. Oh my gosh. Serena Williams has always been like my girl crush.
That's amazing.
And she also is a businesswoman. And she was like one of those individuals that I remember growing up, I played tennis, actually, fun fact, until I started running track, and she always had a muscular physique too, and like she never was like trying to be thin or trying to like fit this mold, because that's who she is. Like, her body is incredible, and the way she's built, she's just naturally muscular. And I remember just always being like, oh my gosh, she's amazing. So I would love to meet her.
It's happening.
Talk to her. Yeah.
Book every charge girl should read.
Oh, man. I'm trying to think some good ones that I read recently. 12 Rules for Life by Jordan Peterson is really good. It's kind of like a foundation for like logic and how to think. That's a good one. I would say, I mean, for myself, the Bible for sure. But if you're not Christian, think of like their books that, oh man, that's a tough one. I like, I'm blanking on the good ones that I've read. 12 Rules for Life, I would say, is probably, yeah, that's top.
Cool. 5 exercises that you think everyone should incorporate in their workout routine.
Oh, some sort of a compound leg exercise. So whether that be a squat, whether that be a leg press, a walking lunge. That's really good for your quads, for your glutes, for your core stability. It's functional. I mean, thinking about day-to-day life. I would say another one would be a hip hinge movement, which would be like a deadlift, Romanian deadlift, some sort of hamstring dominant exercise, hip thrust. I would say an overhead press for shoulder strength, shoulder development, and tricep strength, some sort of vertical, or I'm sorry, that's a vertical press, some sort of horizontal press. So that's four. Like a push-up, a bench press, a dumbbell press. There's all kinds of variations too. Like, so I'm thinking of like types of movements. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, I would say some sort of core stability exercise, whether it be a plank, whether it be some sort of a ab exercise, like something for your core stability, not necessarily like a crunch, but something for your core stability. I would say those are the five things. Yeah, man, I thought of those pretty fast.
That was good. That was good. What is a documentary that every charge girl should watch?
Oh, gosh. Oh. Documentary. I haven't watched any documentaries in so long. I don't know.
What about a movie?
I would say, I know this is like kind of cliche, but I would say Remember the Titans is really good. Aww. Because I know it's so good because it's the bigger message, you know, behind it, like hard work, but then also people coming together. Like, I love those types of things with like,
oh my,
differences
gosh.
Are put aside and like come together for a common, you know, common goal and strive. And also I love Denzel Washington. He's awesome. So I would say Remember the Titans.
That yeah. is such a good one. We would always watch that before like the big championship. Yes. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Oh.
So such a classic. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. And that came out forever ago now.
Probably when we were in middle school. I don't even know.
Oh my gosh. Crazy. It's been so long. I know.
What is the most out there wellness trend you've tried besides the 900 calories a day?
To be honest, since then, I haven't really done a trend. That's no, because I'm just like, I don't like, it's about consistency. And so I'm kind of like anti-trend. Mm-hmm. Even Fair. Though I'm like, if you want to try it, that's fine. But like, you'll probably not be consistent with it.
Okay, next question. Yeah. Favorite restaurant in Columbus?
Oh my gosh. Probably a Cameron Mitchell's restaurant.
Which one?
Cap City is amazing.
Have you ever been there? No.
Oh, it's so good. So I wouldn't say I love like fancy places. I like more kind of like mid, like not super fancy, not like, you know, just fast food. And Cap City is kind of like that in between where you can get like a really good sandwich, or you can get, they're famous for their meatloaf. I know that sounds so weird, but Cab City is bomb. That's probably one of my favorite.
Three staples in your kitchen.
Definitely. Oh my gosh, there's so many staples that I have. I would say avocado. Avocado is number one. I have an avocado
I ate two avocados yesterday.
Every single day, at least one.
I just
one.
Ate it like an apple.
Yeah.
Like honestly, so
the
good.
A little sea salt. Oh my gosh, so good. Avocado for sure. And it's so funny because on social media, like, I'm known for like my avocado and toast like creation. So I would say too, some sort of bread. I love Zico bread. I just love toast and bread, and you know, so good with avocado. And then I would say some sort of like protein, like eggs or turkey or something protein. And then so I'd say so fat, avocado, and then carb. Bread and then turkey. Like, if I had to think of one thing that I could eat for pretty much any meal, it would be like an avocado turkey sandwich.
Yeah.
So, or with eggs. So good. Oh, and you know where has the place with the best breakfast options ever? Australia.
Australia. Oh, I know.
Oh my gosh. Like,
I know. Every
you can go
single
to
place.
Any cafe. It's like over easy or poached eggs, avocado toast, and like smoked salmon.
And the
like,
best coffee too. I know. We gotta go. Okay, we're planning
our
trip.
Oh my gosh. Okay, let's perfect.
What is your greatest lesson on college?
Ooh. I would say that just because, so my major was finance. And even though my major was finance, and you know, people ask me like, well, you're not like in the financial industry, like, was that a waste of time? I'm like, No. I think every single thing that you experience in college, whether it be a hard class, dealing with people, presenting, all these types of things. I mean, I went through so many interviews for like a finance internship and all that stuff. And I'm like, was that a waste of time? Absolutely not. Because you learn lessons from all those different experiences that you can apply to whatever you do. Mm-hmm. So I think even if probably a lot of girls who are listening to this, you know, might be unsure about their major and thinking like, what am I going to do with this? And like, have I chosen the right path? And, you know, what is it? It's really about making the most of every single experience as opposed to being so focused on like, this is the path that I need to be on for the rest of my life, because I thought that was finance and I thought that was working. Actually, I worked at Limited Brands for a while, worked at Bath and Body Works and in the finance department there. And I thought that was like my future, and it totally changed. So you don't know where life's going to take you. And I think it's about what are the lessons that you're learning from each of those phases in your life that you can apply to wherever life takes you. So I think that's really important, not to get so bogged down on like, this is the exact path that my life has to take. It's like, well, what are your passions and where is life going to take you? And what are you learning now that you can apply to those avenues in your future for sure. Mm.
Have you ever spoken at OSU?
Once. Yeah.
You need to do more of that. I can like totally see you talking to different colleges.
Yeah, I would love to. Thank you. I have once to a group of trainers, like the training department at Ohio State. Mm-hmm. But besides that, I'm trying to think if I have. I love speaking. I really do. And I've done some different speaking events like in the health and fitness industry, but not at OSU much. So yeah, I would love to for sure. So I know.
I can see it happening.
We'll see where life takes me. I don't know. I know. But Ohio State too, I think that's, it always like brings me back to that time in my life where I was struggling, and I can relate to so many of those college girls. I'm like, oh my gosh, when I was your age, like, you know, really take advantage of this amazing network that you have access to, especially just being interested in health and fitness and interested in a healthy lifestyle. It's like you're ahead of the pack, because so many women don't figure it out until much later in life. And so mm-hmm. it's like, if you're really sifting through all of that misinformation through media and all of that, you know, the diet culture that we live in, it's awesome that you're taking that initiative. And I think that's like why I'm so like passionate about high school and college girls, because oh my gosh, like I was there and I know what it feels like and how difficult it can be. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's your greatest lesson on wellness?
I think my greatest lesson is that it's who are you surrounding yourself with? And that is so important. So important. The people that you surround yourself, the influencers in your life, who are you letting speak into your life? And that's all a part of your wellness. Because if you're not well up here, you're not, nothing's gonna be well. So it really has to start in your mind, and has to start like, okay, how are you establishing a healthy mindset around training, around nutrition, around your life, around your job, around your relationships, and who are you letting speak into your life? Because we're built for relationships, so we're gonna have relationships. And there's that common notion or, you know, thing that said you're most like the five people that you surround yourself with, that's like who you'll become. And that is 100% true. And I've experienced that, where I've surrounded myself with the wrong people and then the right people. And it's amazing the difference that it makes, for sure. So having those positive influences in your life.
Mm-hmm. Greatest lesson on spirituality.
It has to be an individual journey. It has to be your journey. It can't be a secondhand journey. And that's what I was doing for so long. I was relying on other people and like my parents. I mean, it's great. As you know, one day when I have children, I want to instill in them values and my faith and morals and those types of things. But like, it has to be, once you get to a certain age, you can't just rely on someone else. You actually have to pursue it yourself. And so that would be, I think, my biggest takeaway. For so long, I was trying to like live a secondhand spiritual journey where I was like, I'll just listen to a sermon and I'll be fine. Like, you know, that type of thing. Whereas it has to like, until it clicks, it means nothing. That's how I felt. I was like, what does this mean? It doesn't mean. And then it mean anything. And then once it clicked and I was like, oh, like that's the purpose of my life. And that's, wow. it just was this mental shift where then it started to become something that I was pursuing. And it didn't mean so much to me until that shift happened, where it was my own personal endeavor and my own personal journey instead of just like a secondhand thing. Mm.
Last question.
Yes.
What does being hashtag in charge mean to you?
Hashtag in charge to me means not being afraid to be who you are and not being afraid to live the life that you know you're supposed to live. I think for so long, my life was not in charge because I was trying to live to please other people and trying to live to fit this mold. And that really led to so much struggle in my life. And so being in charge, I would say, would be not being afraid, because we all struggle in our own regard. And I think a lot of times we have this idea that, well, they're successful, they don't know what it feels like to struggle. And it's like, no, we all struggle. And it's like not being afraid to blaze your own path and do something different and start your own business, or, you know, speak your mind, whatever it may be, and not being afraid to pursue that passion in your life that you know you're meant to fulfill. Like you have a purpose, and fulfilling that purpose, not letting other people hold you back, and not letting your own mind hold you back too. Because for so long I was afraid to do things because I was like, I'm not good enough to do that. And it's like, yeah, you are. We're all human, and we're all created equal. We're all created with a purpose. And so every single person has a purpose in their life, for sure. So I think that's what being in charge means.
You're giving me all the feels.
I'm like, this is so fun.
I don't want this podcast to be over.
This was so great. I'm so glad we did this.
This was so good. Honestly, I could talk to you for hours. And the only reason I'm stopping this is because I have another podcast interview after this. So that's the only reason.
This was so great.
You're amazing.
You're amazing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on. When you emailed me, I was like, or when you messaged me, I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be so awesome. Just because I've followed you on social media and I've followed what, you know, everything you stand for, it's like, it's so awesome the difference that you're making too. And I think it's just, we need more women like you. Mm-hmm. For sure. For sure.
Yeah. You are the best. Shout yourself out. Where should girls follow you?
Okay.
Talk about all the things.
Yeah. So Instagram is KatieAnn100. And then I have a coaching page that's PowerFit Performance. And then my email, if you want to reach me, is katieannfit@gmail.com. And then I'm also on Facebook, just under Katie Ann. I think it's Katie Ann Rutherford.
Well, we'll put everything in the show notes.
Yeah.
For
awesome.
Sure. Yay. Well, thank you again.
Thank you. This was so great.
And thank you guys so much for listening. I will talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Hey, Charge Girls, good morning. Yes, I'm talking to you. It's time to get charged up, cause this day is anew. The sky says hi and it's bluer than blue. The sun is shining and all the birds are chirping too. Today is the best day to be alive. The miracles appear once you open up your eyes. Surprise! Time to keep living your dreams. So get up and join the rest of your charge team.